Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hey everybody, welcome to From the Kitchen Table. I'm Sean Duffy, along with my co-host of the podcast, my partner in life and my wife, Rachel Campos Duffy.
It's great to be back, Sean. We're going to talk a little later on in the show about Jonathan Diller and something that a wonderful company, a pro-life diaper company, did as a way to just honor his legacy and try and help out his family. I thought it was one of the most beautiful gestures I've seen a company do. So we're gonna talk about that in just a little bit. And if you love babies, if you love families, if you love our police officers, you're going to love this story, because it's one of those times when a company steps up and just does the right thing at the right moment. But before that, we're talking a little bit about Donald Trump. He's in town. As you know, Alvin Bragg and
when you say town, we say Washington. I mean, sorry, New York City, because that's where the hush money bogus trial is going on. So he's stuck every day in the trial in New York City. Right? Yeah. He can't be on the campaign trail.
But he's decided he's not going to waste any time. He is not going to be on Joe Biden's speed. He's just going to take advantage of every minute he has. And he did something yesterday that was so smart. I don't know if he came up with the idea, whoever on his campaign came up with the idea deserves a raise. But he decided, after leaving what he sees as his own persecution by Alvin Bragg.
So after leaving the courtroom, right?
Mm-hmm, that's right. He decided to leave that courtroom and go see another New Yorker who's been persecuted by Alvin Bragg. And that would be Jose Alba, who is a Dominican elderly man who was working at a bodega last summer in July when a thug and his girlfriend came in and tried to steal from them and pulled out a knife. And he defended himself and turned the knife on that guy. And I guess that guy died. And so Alvin Bragg wanted to throw Jose Alba, and did throw him in jail and charged him with murder. And, you know, basically the whole community was up in arms about it. And eventually they had to reverse the situation, the legal situation. And he's now out. But boy, really smart move on the part of Donald Trump to go and see another victim of Alvin Bragg, the DA, who is in favor of the who doesn't defend the victims. He's out there helping the people who are the bad guys.
I mean, it drives the theme that Alvin Bragg is prosecuting crimes that should not be prosecuted.
Correct.
Again, Donald Trump and Jose Alba, who actually, by the way, he wasn't there yesterday. He went back to the Dominican Republic. The new owners of the bodega were there. But Jose, after being charged and then released, he's like, this country's crazy. I'm out of here. And I'm going back to the Dominican Republic. But again, it drives a message to the American.
The good people. The bad people are coming in. And the good ones who are working hard at a bodega are going back. Back to where it's safer. Dominican Republic. Even as Haiti is falling apart right next door.
But it was a great example of a story of someone, classic self-defense. He's in the bodega. The guy comes around the back of the counter and is attacking him and pushes him back into the shelving. And he was able to get a knife and defended himself and stabbed this. It was an ex-con. He's a criminal. Stabbed him to death. And so.
But Sean, when he gets there, when Donald Trump gets there, this is what's so remarkable, because this is on the heels, of course, of the Chick-fil-A moment, right? Where he was on the campaign trail and stopped in to a Chick-fil-A after a rally. I think he was in Atlanta, and he interviewed this young woman named Michaela, and it was just a viral moment, because Donald Trump's just really good in these situations. Well, here he goes to this bodega in the upper Manhattan. It's sort of a Dominican area, I guess, and he's surrounded by his Latinos, who are saying Trump, 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 and they break out spontaneously and start singing the Star Spangled Banner. And the whole time I was watching it, Sean, on play, I first saw it on social media. I thought, there is no way in hell that Joe Biden gets this reception. Mm. In fact, I saw some footage of him in Scranton. You know, he's always saying, I'm from Scranton, Joe. And it was like an empty room. He couldn't get people in his own backyard that he claims he's Mr. Working Class Joe. No one showed up. Donald Trump shows up in what should a lot of people like to say is a hostile environment. New York City that doesn't like him anymore because it's a liberal city and he's the Republican candidate. And boy, there was a lot of love there.
A lot of love. It was a response that you'd think of a Taylor Swift might get if she was in the streets of some community in America. People came out in throngs. There was gating set up. Everyone was trying to get a look at Trump as he came out. And listen, whatever you say about Donald Trump, he is a master marketer. The fact that he's stuck in a trial, and he has to be there for this trial every day in court, so he can't be on the campaign trail.
They won't even let him go to his son's graduation.
That's right. But what's fascinating is he's going to take every opportunity to make the national news, driving messages that matter to the American people. And that's exactly what he did here. You know, you just mentioned the trial. So in this New York trial, what the judge has done is said, we are going to be in court on Monday and Tuesday and Thursday and Friday. They're going to take Wednesday off. Now, usually the court will take Friday off. But for Donald Trump, no, they're going to take Wednesday off, because if they take Friday off, that means Donald Trump would have Thursday night, Friday, Saturday and Sunday to campaign. And Judge Merchant can't allow for that. So he put the day off in the middle of the week, again, just to screw Donald Trump.
And by the way, it also screws the jurors, who would probably like to have Thursday, Friday, Saturday off as well. But
Thursday
you're right.
Night, Friday, Saturday.
Yeah, exactly. Thursday night. Friday, Saturday, Sunday. But Sean, this is what this is about. This is election interference. This is, you know, they want to tie him up. They don't want him on the campaign trail because Joe Biden can't keep up.
And if you look at the polling, the economy and inflation are big issues.
Yes.
The border is a big issue.
Huge.
And it seems like, listen, crime is in the backdrop of this, but it's still an issue that a lot of people deal with. And by the way, we're doing two stories today, both from New York, but we thought they were relevant because what happens in, you know, this part of the country or in California seems to metastasize and spread around the country. But it doesn't spread to Florida. Ron DeSantis has been incredibly tough on crime, right? He's come and said, listen, if we have porch pirates, small, retail theft criminals, we're going to hold them to account. We are going to prosecute them. He's expanded the seriousness of the crimes from misdemeanors to felonies and the length of prison sentences. And what happens is when you don't tolerate crime, criminals actually do one of three things. They either leave, they stop committing crime, or they go to prison. But no matter what happens with those, people are safer in the community in which they live because they have leadership that doesn't tolerate it. And that's what Donald Trump was actually pointing out at this brilliant stop in northern Manhattan.
Yeah, it was so smart. And, you know, if you're really young, you probably don't remember this cartoon, but you know, Sean, you and I grew up watching The Roadrunner and The Coyote. And I mean, it's just, he's like that Roadrunner. It's like, they think they got him trapped. You know, we got him. We're going to, you know, give him a mugshot. And the mugshot's kind of badass. And he turns it into merchandise. And then like, now we got him. We're going to get him on, you know, we're going to tie him down in New York City. And he's like, all right, I'll take the downtime in New York City and steal all the limelight for myself. I mean, this was the number one story yesterday. All over the country, but especially in the New York market, which just must be driving Alvin Bragg just crazy. I mean, it's just, it's amazing. This has not been a good time for Joe Biden, John.
Well, I think it's fascinating. You mentioned, I mean, New York, it is especially New York City, a hardcore Democrat bastion. Republicans really don't get elected here.
No.
And that you see these kind of throngs, this kind of excitement for Trump, I think it says a lot about where the country's at with Joe Biden and their support for Donald Trump.
Also a very multicultural city, Sean. And I think, and it's got a lot of immigrants and people who came to this country. It's a very diverse city. And, you know, you and I know lots of people in New York City who are minorities of all different ethnicities. And I would say that most of them kind of like Donald Trump. A lot of them do. And those numbers are increasing. You're seeing the numbers uptick for Black Americans, Black men, young Americans, you know, Hispanic. You know, that was a lot of Dominicans and Latinos in that neighborhood.
Can I leave those numbers on for you?
This sure,
is, this
yeah.
is how serious this is. So for the Black vote in 2020, Donald Trump got 8% of the vote. For the Black vote. And Joe Biden got 92% of the vote in 2020. So, and if you break that down, it was 12% of the male Black vote, and it was 6% of the female Black vote, mm-hmm. right? Today, the polling has Donald Trump with Black men at 30%.
Wow.
And Black women at 11%. So Donald Trump is polling anywhere between 20 and 25% with the Black vote. Now, you may not think that's a big number. You think that's a horrible loss for Donald Trump. You change the Black vote with these kind of numbers, and it is cataclysmic for Democrats.
Because they depend so greatly on having such a huge majority of Blacks. They've been able to count on the Black vote. They almost take it for granted. They know they're going to get 90% of it, and they count on it. And now they're bleeding those numbers.
And especially when you're having the swing states of Nevada, Arizona, Georgia, Pennsylvania, Wisconsin, and Michigan, those swing states, you start losing this number of Black votes, this changes the election results. But on top of that, in 2016, against Hillary Clinton, Donald Trump received 28% of the Hispanic vote. In 2020, he received 38% of the Hispanic vote.
He increased it by 10%.
And now he's at 45 to 48% with the Hispanic vote. So then you mentioned the youth vote. You add the youth vote, the Hispanic vote, and the Black vote together. It is a dumpster fire for Democrats. They're losing all of their, they just haven't lost single women yet. I mean, that's the one group they have left. But this is really bad for them. And again, it comes down to who inspires people. Politics is about policy, but also it's about inspiring people right. about a vision for where your country can go. And Donald Trump actually offers inspiration to a lot of people where Joe Biden can't inspire his family or his staff, let alone the American people.
We'll have more of this conversation after this.
Since the 1970s, working class Americans and U.S. investors who saved wealth in dollars have seen the dollar lose over 80% of its purchasing power. In contrast, investors who diversified their cash into gold saw gold appreciate over 5,000%. For Americans who invested $50,000 in gold when America left the gold standard in the 70s, their gold is worth more than $2.5 million today. While gold carries no guarantees and past performance does not equal future results, investors who do their own research will see that gold's performance over this time span is what gold has consistently done in the face of eroding paper currencies. For over 15 years, St. Joseph Partners has built its business with a singular focus on helping investors diversify their wealth and protect their families in physical gold and silver you hold in your hand. Don't let your hard-earned savings go unhedged. Call St. Joseph Partners or go to our joint website, kitchengold.net, not .com. That is kitchengold.net, and protect your wealth.
Yeah, I know. I mean, yesterday also, we did a story. I was on Outnumbered, and I guess Michael Moore has been on his show, on his podcast, basically telling the Democrats, you got to abandon this idea of standing with Israel. You are losing so many young people. And of course, he's focusing on the issue of Gaza. And yeah, a lot of young people have been on TikTok. They're very, you know, much, I think a lot of them have gotten radicalized and indoctrinated with the messages from TikTok about the conflict between Israel and Gaza. But I think a lot of focus is on that. I don't think that's the main driver of why they're losing young people. I think they're losing young people because young people are very discouraged. They don't feel like they can launch. They, you know, they're and that's why, of course, why they've come out with, oh, we're going to give you, you know, free tuition. We're going to forgive all your tuition debt. But, you know, there's only a small percentage of of young people who actually have that debt, who qualify for this loan forgiveness. It's really across the board that they don't feel like they can buy a house. They don't feel like they can afford anything. They're not advancing. The inflation's eating up any kind of wage, you know, increases if they even have them. And they're looking at their parents, Sean. They're going, where were my parents at my age? And it just seemed like they are looking at their parents and their grandparents and saying, they were ahead of us. They're able to save. They're able to buy a house. They're able to start a family at much younger ages than we can.
And I don't know, you know, kind of the backdrop of how these young people are spending their money. But in the last 2 years, credit card debt has gone up by 15%.
Yeah.
And delinquencies on credit card debts have gone up by 50% in 2023 alone. You're feeling the pressure and the stress of personal finances across the country. You have auto loans are spiking, defaults, and even defaults on home mortgages. So it's a really bad sign for Joe Biden. And again, how does Joe Biden win? I mean, I think you'd go, like, if you sit and listen to our podcast, you're like, well, the race is over. Well, it's not over. I mean, the silver bullet for Democrats is abortion. Abortion worked in 2022. We thought it was a big red wave coming. It was a little red trickle. Abortion worked, right? It was it polled at like 4th or 5th most important issue. But on election day, that drove voters to the polls. They're hoping on replaying.
But don't you think that abortion. Donald Trump has sort of diluted that issue for them and that he didn't take the bait? He just said, here's my position. It's up to the states.
Where do people get their news? Right. That's what matters. And do they actually hear that? But if the economy remarkably recovers and, you know, the Fed lowers rates, which I don't think they're going to do, and I don't think the economy is going to get much better. But that could happen. People care about the border. Joe Biden could actually do an executive order on the border. It's not going to fix it, right? He created the problem, but he could stand up and go, I get it, America. I understand, you know, 10, 15 million people are coming in. We can't have this. House Republicans were so bad they didn't pass this bipartisan bill, but I'm going to do it myself, damn it. That actually can work. There's some things he can do.
It looks like he's moving to the middle, but he's not.
Looks like he's trying, yes, but he's not going to. And then it's also these prosecutions that we started off talking about, the Hush Money case. We don't know what impact convictions will have.
Right.
We don't know a jail sentence. Not that he's going to go to jail. It might be, you know, there's going to be an appeal, so he wouldn't go right away. But what impact does that have on the electorate? How does it move it? We don't know.
If Donald Trump ends up in jail.
Or convicted even. So all factors that Joe Biden is, he's got like multiple Hail Marys he has to throw to win this race, I think.
By the way, Sean, the situation at the border, not only can it get worse, but the consequences, I think, could rear its head. I mean, you saw what happened in terms of public opinion about how important the border was when Lincoln Riley was murdered. We have a couple situations related to the border that I think could rear their heads before the election and really turn people against Joe Biden. I just want to bring up just a couple of them. One, we have a 7,000% increase in Chinese nationals who have come across the border. People are worried. You and I have interviewed Latin American experts who think that they are standing up an army right now here in the United States.
I almost thought you said Latin experts, like Latinx. Latin experts. Okay, got
Latin,
it.
Not Latinx. Latino experts. Experts in Latin America who've said yes, because Donald Trump alluded to that. He said, I think they're standing up an army. The Chinese are doing something here. We spoke to some experts in Latin America and Latin American security, and they said absolutely they're afraid that that's what happened. Something could happen there. We have record number of foreign terrorists who have made it across the border that we know of, known terrorists that we know of. And as things heat up in the Middle East, we could have some sort of terrorist attack. That would certainly change it. Another thing, Sean, you know, Sarah Carter is one of the other friend of ours who has been doing a lot of reporting, not just on the border, but she will go deep down into Latin America. She just reported yesterday that Guatemala, the country of Guatemala right now, is investigating and looking to try and sue NGOs, non-governmental organizations, because they have evidence that Guatemalan children have been sex trafficked either knowingly or even just because the NGOs are complicit in it. They're going after the NGOs. And now AG Paxton in Texas is also going to be working with them in investigating and finding the link between the NGOs and the sex trafficking going on with the cartels. It could be anything from, you know, they are just handing them over and that's just the process. But the more nefarious angle is that they could actually be working in cahoots with these with the NGOs, with the cartels and the sex traffickers. So, you know, as information comes out, I mean, Sean, you know this, we've lost 80,000 unaccompanied children that our government can't keep track of. Do you remember, Sean, when Alexandra Ocasio-Cortez was crying in her white jeans outside of a detention center because she said that Donald Trump was separating children from their families? Now, Donald Trump was separating them. Why? Because he wanted to separate them, the children from the adults, to make sure that the adults that were with them were actually their parents. But another thing happened, Sean, and that was three former first ladies, Michelle Obama, Hillary Clinton, and Laura Bush, during that time that AOC was crying outside of the detention center about how much she cares about these young people, which, by the way, we haven't heard from her since. These three former first ladies wrote letters, an op-ed, condemning Donald Trump for, again, separating children at the border. Have you heard anything from those first ladies about the children, the explosion of child sex trafficking that has happened because our open border?
And the number of children who have been lost
in the system?
But just to,
nothing. So I'm saying any of these situations, as more information comes out, as people are becoming more aware of what's happening, there's a terrorist attack, something happens with the Chinese. I'm telling you, this is all at the feet of Joe Biden.
It truly is. And it's, I think, a fact that just shows the politics of immigration, you know, the politics of how it has separate. I mean, that you have even Laura Bush, George Bush, not saying anything when his home state Yes. has been overrun with illegal migrants, but they have no problem calling out Donald Trump, right, in his policies at the southern border.
And yesterday, Sean Muckraker posted on X, on Twitter, formerly known as Twitter, they found some documents. So Muckraker has been doing some reporting in Latin America. You know, they've been following people going across the Darien Straits. They are among those who are breaking the story of the Chinese who are really well funded coming across, you know, Venezuela, Colombia, up the Darien Straits and up to America. They've been following that story. Well, they found paperwork from an NGO in Spanish. And of course, we had seen this, that, you know, there were these NGOs giving paperwork to the illegals, telling them what to do, directions, what to do once they cross the border. Well, this paper that they found, that it was giving instructions, also at the bottom of this paper, there were instructions saying, when you get to the United States, you need to register to vote. Here's how to register to vote. And you need to vote for Joe Biden. And so those have been uploaded onto X, and everyone's talking about them right now. So, you know, a lot of people scratching their heads. Why would Joe Biden open the border? That could be one of the reasons, is that he's bringing in new voters, because we've been spending this whole podcast talking about how he's losing voters. Well, he can gain voters by opening the border and bringing this.
Well, and they're not legal voters. That's why election integrity is so important, to make sure.
Correct.
One individual gets one vote. That's it. You have to be a legal citizen. Most of the time, you can't have been a convicted criminal. You can't be a felon. There's some things where that right to vote is taken away. But when you take away these safeguards of show an ID, of we all vote on election day, versus Democrats with drop boxes and mail-in ballots, what happens then is you get a group of people who aren't legally able to vote. People who aren't citizens, people who may have just come into the country, who actually can step into the election and vote and sway the outcome of an election when they legally could not. I want to just mention one quick thing before we go to break, which is, you know, Democrats are liars. right? Joe Biden will say, Bidenomics is working, where the economy is great, inflation's coming down. We're like, and everyone in America looks and goes, actually, that's not true, because we believe our own eyes. When we go to the grocery store, when we buy gas, when we're paying our rent, real issues for the American people. And it also happens, Rachel, when Democrats, liberal TV hosts will talk about how extreme Donald Trump is, how extreme the Republican Party is. And I look at that and I'm like, extreme? We have an open border. Millions of people have come in. We've lost 80,000 children at the southern border. People are being sex trafficked. There's sex slavery today in America. Drugs are flowing into our country. We're enriching the Mexican cartels
in the southern border. And turning Mexico into a narco state.
100%. And then you look at coming back to New York City and this idea that prosecutors will prosecute the Daniel Penny who defended, you know, the people on the subway train. They'll go after Jose Alba, who defended himself against a criminal. They'll go after Donald Trump, an ex-president, with fabricated, stretched charges. And you look at, who's extreme? Donald Trump wants a strong military? He wants less government, lower regulation, a secure border? Like, well, that's extreme. That's a whole lot different than, you know, Republican Party politics and policies for the last 40 years.
Right.
It's the very same. This is the Democrats are the party of transgenderism. They want to mutilate children. I mean, the wild extremism of Democrats and liberals. And then they have the audacity to go on television and go, it's Donald Trump who's extreme, not us. And I think a lot of people right now go, I don't recognize my country. I don't feel like what's happening is normal. I think people can take some changes, but what liberals have brought to us is so foreign. It's so contrary to the way we've been raised and what we are as a country. And I think you always talk about inflation is really unsettling for so many Americans. And it is. But what they're doing with prosecuting a former president, prosecuting many people on his staff or in his administration, opening up our borders,
like
not prosecuting
people.
Criminals, that has really shaken people and given them a lack of confidence as well. And I think all of those factors are coming into play in this
election
cycle.
Sean, when you see people on the streets saying death in America, death to America, and burning the flag, and what I think you're seeing is I get the sense that we're falling, we're coming apart at the seams, that it's getting so extreme, it's getting so crazy. And so you see somebody like Katie Couric who goes on Bill Maher and says, oh, this is about, you know, people being jealous, people being resentful. This is what she said about MAGA. Those MAGA people are, you know, this is about, you know, class and they're anti-intellectuals and they're, you know, we're having a transition from, you know, industrial and manufacturing work to technological work, and they've fallen behind. And she said, literally said to Bill Maher, it's just, you know, never been really jealous of somebody. It's really disconcerting. It's really toxic.
She's saying MAGA supporters.
Yes, this is what she was saying. This is Katie Couric's deplorable moment. Maybe we could play it right now. Actually, let's play that right now.
Socioeconomic disparities are a lot, and class resentment is a lot. What and anti-intellectualism and elitism is what is driving many of these anti-establishment, which are Trump voters. I don't know if you've ever been jealous of what someone else has or resentful. It is such a corroding and bitter, almost bile feeling.
That moment, Sean, after she says that, Bill Maher comes back and goes, yeah, I get what you're saying, but I think they're actually more afraid of you guys. You guys who want to transition kids.
Transition kids, yeah.
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 And you guys who think you can, you know, reinvent biology, and you guys who want, you know, so I think that's your point. I think we're getting so divided because it just, there's just, it's like there's two different Americas, and it's really hard to reconcile this. And I do think a lot of Americans believe that this is the last chance in this election. And I think that's where we're at.
I think you're absolutely right. And so I can, well, you know, good on Donald Trump for maximizing his opportunity while being stuck in a courtroom in New York.
He keeps fighting, Sean. He doesn't, he won't stop.
But he's out there, you know, getting national press. As he highlights the prosecution decisions from Alvin Bragg, a liberal in New York City. So,
by the way, Sean, Latinos in those neighborhoods, they know what communism looks like.
They do.
And
or their families or their grandfathers.
They're right. Sick of the crime. They're sick of the communism. They're sick of the inflation. And Donald Trump couldn't show up into their neighborhoods at a better time.
No doubt about that. All right. We're going to talk about Jonathan Diller. And the story about a great American company that stepped in to help his family out right after this break. Welcome back to you from the kitchen table. Rachel, tell us about this fantastic story in regard to the family of Jonathan Diller.
Well, so many of you know that, you know, Jonathan Diller was killed in just such a horrible way. I believe it was just a few weeks ago. He's only 31 years old. It happened on March 25th during a traffic stop. And this person that ended up killing him had had 21 prior arrests. Jonathan was only 31. He had a young wife, a son. Turned out his wife was pregnant with their second child at the time. So it was absolutely devastating. A 15-month-old son, Ryan, his wife, Stephanie, and here she was pregnant. And he dies in such an untimely manner. And his whole community showed up for that funeral. It was just heartbreaking because it was so unnecessary. And I think America was heartbroken through all of this. Well, you know, one of the things I love is American companies that step up and do the right thing at the right moment. And one of those is Every Life. Every Life is a pro-life diaper company. You might've heard of them. They're the ones that put up that, the billboard in Times Square where Elon Musk had a quote where he said, you know, we need more babies because Elon Musk is a big natalist. And he thinks that, you know, he's right, by the way, that, you know, the population is decreasing because of a lot of factors, including the fact that people don't want to have more kids. And he says, we need more babies. And so this company, Every Life, which is a pro-life baby company, and, you know, their company depends on babies. So they're totally down with that. And they put up
Pampers and Huggies too. they don't seem to
make the connection.
Right.
But Every Life put up this quote of Elon Musk in Times Square and just really got the conversation going. We actually had them on Fox and Friends. People talking about why we need more babies and why we should be embracing, you know, more babies in America. Well, they decided to step up and offer diapers for life to Stephanie Diller for her children. And I just thought, what a beautiful gesture.
Really cool gesture. And again, of a family who's going through incredibly hard times. They're, again, I can't imagine the loss that this widow feels. And again, a community and a family has wrapped their arms around her, but the loneliness comes from losing your spouse. And again, your point, needlessly, but you lose your spouse, you're going to have two little kids, and you're going to get help, but you're still by yourself. And the fact that bail reform laws allow hardened criminals to continue to be released from jail when you commit crimes, serious crimes, bail should be set where you don't get out, right? You're stuck behind bars, but these liberals continue to let criminals out of jail to then commit more crimes. And then they're, on the second time, released again to commit more crimes. And then they're arrested again to commit more crimes. At one point you go, this is a criminal that's not gonna stop until we lock them up. And they never come to this, what has always been historic for us, we understand how criminals work. You lock people up to protect the community. That didn't happen here. And a good young police officer lost his life. And now two kids are going to be raised without their father. And so for a company to step up to go, you know what? By the way, I can attest to this and so can you. Diapers are expensive,
yeah.
Right? And especially when you have a couple kids in diapers, they are expensive. The cost adds up. And so to have a company step up and go, you know what? Now they're going to probably send them to their door, something you don't have to think about. We're going to cover you and your little babies in the diapers because we value what your husband did, how he sacrificed his life, and we value families and babies. And that's the least we can do based on the sacrifice that your family has made.
And I think what we should do as conservatives is support companies like this, companies that share our values, companies who step up and do something like this, a gesture like that that's so meaningful. By the way, Frank Siller, Thomas Towers also came in. They covered the mortgage. And that kind of embrace of a widow in this time of need is just so beautiful. By the way, Sarah Seifert, who is the co-founder and president of Every Life, also, and I didn't know this until I looked up some of the background to do this story. She's also the CEO of Public Square, which is that network of different, they're patriotic businesses. You can go to Public Square and look up different companies and sort of like in place of, say, of an Amazon, go and find things that you can get from this place, things that you use, buy from companies that share your values. I think that's so important for us. It's one of the ways that we can fight back just a little bit in our daily life. Every time I have to buy from Amazon, I get so mad. I don't want to give my money to Amazon. So that's Public Square, Every Life. These are companies that are trying their best to reflect the values of good Americans, and we ought to support them.
And so what I think matters is, does your product work? Right?
Yeah.
Does it?
I use Every Life. It works.
Exactly. The point is, so if you have diapers that work for babies, why not pick one that actually supports your viewpoint and your value, right? It's hard when you have other products out there that might be like, this is a conservative company and the product's not as good. Well, this is one where it is just as good and a wonderful company with wonderful values doing good things. So Every Life, good job on you.
Good job for stepping up in that way. We're really proud. And also to Frank Siller and Tunnels for Towers. Always a great always a great organization, always stepping up. As soon as it happens, whatever the tragedy is, to our first responders in our military, he's one of the first calls those families get to go, at least on your mortgage, you don't need to worry. America's got this.
You know what's interesting?
He's such a great guy, too.
You've met him more than I have.
I know him very well.
He is the nicest guy you'll ever meet. He's not in it to go, I want to get rich. He's like 95 plus percent of the money goes to build people's houses or pay off their mortgages. And it's really wonderful. He's dedicated his life to making Tunnels to Towers work for people who have served their community or their country and are in a time of need. And the family's never been left behind.
Such a tribute to his brother who died on 9/11. And he's just an amazing guy. It's an amazing organization.
You know what it's a tribute to as well? It's a tribute to America. Yeah. The American people are generous.
They are.
They're giving. They want to help. I've seen that in so many different facets of my own life, but this is a great story of Tunnels to Tower and Frank Siller don't work unless Americans are like, you know what? I'm going to step up. I'm going to give. I'm going to help out. And they do. And that's why he's been so successful. So, good on Every Life. Good on you, Frank Siller. You're a great American.
Yeah.
You get the Great American Award today.
Yeah, you do. And our hearts and our prayers continue to go to Jonathan Diller's family, especially his wife and his children.
No doubt. Listen, thank you all for being with us today. We appreciate it. A couple good topics on this podcast. If you like our podcast, you can always rate, review, subscribe to this podcast wherever you get your podcast. You can always find us at foxnewspodcasts.com. Subscribe, get a notice when we drop. We do three shows a week, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. And you'll get a notice every time we come out. So please subscribe. And until next time, hope you have a great day.
Bye, everybody.
Listen ad-free with a Fox News Podcast Plus subscription on Apple Podcasts. And Amazon Prime members can listen to the show ad-free on the Amazon Music app.
Kudlow on Fox Business is now on the go for podcast fans. Get key interviews with the biggest business newsmakers of the day. The Kudlow podcast will be available on the go after the show every weekday at foxbusinesspodcasts.com or wherever you download your favorite podcasts.